Dearly beloved, be prudent and watch in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, in several different places of sacred scripture, by the word that the angels carry our prayers before the throne of God. We see that in the Old Testament with Jacob. It's called Jacob's Ladder. And also all the way to the final book of the New Testament, the Apocalypse, where St. John envisioned the angels bringing the prayers of the saints before the altar of God. And we actually have a little gadget that reminds us of that. We have an electronic vigil light lighter. The way it works is by a little spark, and spark, kind of like a little bit of lightning, reminds us of the angels that Jacob saw, the brightness going up and down. And so, what is the point of all this? Well, the importance of prayer and the connection of the angels. We always look upon it this way, that the angels going up and down to heaven come to the gate of heaven, but there are four lanes, one gate but four lanes, like on a roadway. And those four lanes remind us of the four different purposes, or what we call ends of prayer. All prayer has something in common, but different times and different circumstances, it has different things. But first of all, we say, well, what is prayer? It is the lifting up of our heart and our mind to God. That's essentially what prayer is. It is where we use that part of our being that most perfectly reflects God, that is our understanding, our free will, to turn back to God, to lift our heart and mind to God. Now, that prayer may be accompanied, and often is accompanied, by words, or by actions, for example, at the sign of the cross. And it can accomplish one of several of these purposes. So we say, well, what are the purposes of prayer, these four purposes? Sometimes a slightly different word, but the same idea. The first of those is adoration. The second is thanksgiving. The third is satisfaction, making up for our sins. And the fourth is the one, of course, that we know the best, which is petition to ask for those things that we need. So we have a need and an obligation to do all four. So one or another may have occupy our attention at a given time. When we're really trying to think about it, we probably can only really concentrate on one at a time. Nevertheless, it's all four, and sometimes we may be a little off track and think that prayer is either only words or only that which we ask for. Well, there is a time and a place for words, and there is a time and a place for asking definitely every day. But these are not the only purposes of prayer. There's more to it. Also, sometimes we'll have the expression, say your prayers, which is a colloquial English expression. But actually, we don't always have to be saying something in order to pray. It can be a time of prayer which is without a formula of words. Sometimes the word meditation or contemplation is used, where we can simply turn our heart and our mind to God, or we may even speak to God quiet. This is not something out loud in our own words. But they don't have to be words. And sometimes it's just to be quietly with our Lord. And then there are times when prayer is accompanied by an action, and that can be walking. Like in a procession, we have the processions, well, for the Rogation Days, which were last week, procession for Corpus Christi, and so on. So, and even just saying the rosary together and walking, those two go together, and actually the pilgrimages, there's a lot more to them, but that's the idea of prayer of action. Simple prayer of action is making the sign of the cross, taking holy water, and genuflecting. So, and even when we light a candle, you might think of that little angel-like arc spark that we use to get it started. Well, why do we have a candle? Well, it's an outward sign of our prayers. And of course, in Mass we have incense. And the use of candles in connection with prayer goes back to the Old Testament. the light of faith, and the warmth of charity. So let's first of all consider the prayer of adoration. What does it mean to adore God? It means to acknowledge God as the Lord, creator of all things, and to esteem him as his servants and loving children. So, this is the very beginning of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. That's one of the words of adoration. Also in the Our Father, hallowed be thy name. It's not hallowed is thy name. It's a little bit of grammar that we probably don't pay attention to in English a lot. It's a subjunctive. God's name is holy. When we say be thy name, it means we will that it be. We want it to be. That's why we say that. Thy kingdom comes, same thing. God's kingdom comes. God accomplishes the coming of his kingdom, but here we turn our will and unite it to his. So we are using our understanding and free will to be united to the holy will of God, and then, of course, thy will be done. So those three, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Those are all words of adoration. Say that in the Our Father multiple times a day. It's good today to take a moment to consider just what it is we are saying. Another very common and short and easy prayer of adoration is the glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. And we learn from our catechism how do we adore God by acts of faith and hope and charity. So these could be the formulas that we use in the Holy Hour. Or just any time that we, so we say the Apostles' Creed, we think about it. And hope upon God's goodness. So those are all acts of adoration. And then an act of something which is adoration by action rather than words is the genuflection. Why do we genuflect before Christ? We come into the church or before we leave. And is to acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is present in the Holy Eucharist, and to then I need to bow down before him. So a way to think of it, for us parents to explain it to the children, why do we genuflect coming and going? To tell Jesus that we believe and love him. So there's some other uses of genuflection, but when we come to church with the Blessed Sacrament is reserved, that is what we're doing. So that's it's a very simple one. We've all done it or today, and it is as a prayer by action. Sometimes we just come in and do it, but we should think about it and understand that what we are accomplishing. The next type of purpose of prayer is for thanksgiving. And we have a wonderful example from our Lord at the Last Supper. When he instituted the Holy Eucharist, and especially these words are in the canon of the Mass, it says our Lord took the bread and giving thanks, with his eyes to heaven, and giving thanks, and in like manner giving thanks for the chalice, so he would, by the words of his divine power, change those to his bread, to his blood, to his body, and then to his blood. Before that, our Lord gave thanks. We see that implicit in the words of the Our Father. Turn to God as our Father, we turn to God as him who provides for us. And we acknowledge that, and we do it in a loving way. We see that our Lord praised the Samaritan leper. Remember, there were 10 lepers. Disease, that eats up the skin and the whole body. So they came to our Lord asking for help. They cured 10. And they were all very, very happy. They went off. There was only one who came back to say thank you. And our Lord praised that, but he lamented that the other 9 had not come back. So the importance of thanksgiving, not just here and there, but on a regular basis. And actually at meals, you know, we often say at the beginning, blessing before meals, seems to be what was our because we had our fill, we're less thoughtful, but we should be saying the Thanksgiving after the meals. Return thee thanks, O Lord, for these and all thy benefits. So there's slightly different formulations for that idea, saying thank you for what we have received. The next type of prayer, which we really need to do, is satisfaction or reparation, that is making up for our sins. There are some prayer formulas for that. Of course, the act of contrition, when we say, to say each day, let's say it at confession. There are a number of different psalms. In Psalm 50, Miserere, have mercy on me, O Lord, according to the multitude of thy mercies. When we go to the March for Life in Washington or somewhere else, and we pray the rosary, we're not doing that as a political thing. We're doing that as an act of reparation to Almighty God. It's a prayer of satisfaction to make up as best we can, in union with our Lord's suffering and death upon the cross, for the not only the individual sins of people who commit this horrible act, but also the sins of our country that gives us some approval and protection. So that's a prayer of satisfaction and reparation, and there, of course, also the physical act of going. An action of reparation that had an element of prayer was the building of a particular church in Paris. So Sacré-Cœur is a white dome. And why was it built? It was built to make reparation for the wickedness and excesses of the French Revolution. And they were chopping off heads and everything else they were doing, especially in Paris. The people of Paris, after things calmed down, they did that. So it was not just words of reparation, but a prayer of action. And then the 40 hours, we take turns coming for the Blessed Sacrament for 40 hours. It's very much in reparation also in adoration. And part of its history was to make up for the misbehaviors of those who were giving themselves to debauchery in the Mardi Gras. So it can have multiple purposes, but that's one of them, to make reparation. Of course, in June, for the Sacred Heart, the Holy Hour of Reparations in the Sacred Heart. So the idea then of prayer and satisfaction is require both for ourselves, for our own sins, and for those of our neighbor, because, again, through our Lord's suffering and death, merits upon the cross. And that is part of why the priest gives us, they say, a penance after confession. So, well, it's the absolution is what takes away our sins. Our sorrow is what prepares us to receive the absolution. So why does the priest give us a penance? And the answer is that our sins have done damage to the order of creation, so we have to, in a certain sense, clean up the mess that we've made. It also, it is a certain act of satisfaction. The Saint Augustine says so beautifully, God who made you without yourself will not save you without yourself. So part of the purpose of prayer is to do our part for our salvation. And then also we can offer prayers for the poor souls in purgatory and somewhat satisfaction, but also asking God to lessen their needs. The fourth type of prayer then, the fourth purpose of prayer is petition, certainly the one that we know the most. We see our Lord telling us time and time again, pray without ceasing, pray with confidence. We see it all throughout Sacred Scripture. And St. James in particular tells us that the prayer of the humble man availeth much. And this should be done with humility and confidence. And he said, also, if you do not receive, it's often because you have not prayed well. That is, not simply we haven't said just the right formula or whatever. But we've come to God without being sorry for us and without being humbly acknowledging our need, but also without seeking on his terms to want what we want. And in the book of Isaiah, God reprimanded the Jews and said, you fast and pray because you've got some kind of a court case and you want to win it. He said, that's not the prayer. He said, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. True prayer, then, we must honor God with our heart, and that of our lips will follow. And so, for ourselves, then, there are some practical applications, things that we should do, not only to understand that there are four purposes of prayer, but to work that into our prayers, to make our prayers pleasing before God, and of the same type as that of the Blessed Mother and the Apostles, as it says in Sacred Scripture, that they were persevering in prayer between the time of our Lord's ascension and the coming of the Holy Ghost. The first of these is to pay attention to each of these purposes at various times. To think about prayers of especially adoration. That's the one we probably don't think about enough. What is adoration? I simply give back to God. I'm not asking for anything now. I'm just giving back and acknowledging God's greatness and goodness. But then at other times, to pay some attention to it. Maybe like grace after meals. Think about it. Thanking God for what we've just eaten, all the wonderful things that He's given us. Another very practical application is, this is a manner by which we can assist at Holy Mass. The formulas of prayer in the Mass, which are guided by the Holy Ghost, they are very ancient, and they're also very beautiful. If we look, we're going to see in one place is a prayer of adoration, another prayer, place of prayer of thanksgiving, and then satisfaction for our sins, and then with many different prayers of petition. So a profitable way in which to assist at Holy Mass is to take either our missal and the ordinary, the part that's the same at each Mass, or one of the little green booklets. And as we go through, just be in our minds, say, consider, is this a prayer of adoration? So I'm adoring God together with the priest and the whole church. Is it a prayer of satisfaction? I'm making up for my sins. Is it a prayer of thanksgiving or a prayer of petition? So to unite our intention to the various sentiments of the prayer of the Mass. And so it's not just an academic thing, not as if we just make a chart. But it was there we are praying with the priest and the whole church. It's the wondrous thing about the Mass and the sacred liturgy. It's not just a priest's prayer. Even if the priest is all alone, that Mass is offered for the whole church. And then to unite an appropriate action to our prayer. Think about what we're doing when we make the sign of the cross, and also when we come in and genuflect, we should be looking at the tabernacle and not just where am I going to sit or who's ahead of me or whatever. A good practice is to have Holy Mass offered for each of these purposes at some time in our lives, maybe each year. Just to adore God, just to thank God, just to make up for our sins. The wonderful experience, the Mass intention, there was a lady who requested Masses, and her intention was in satisfaction for my sins. And between the time in which she requested and the time I actually got to offer the Masses, it was taken out of the world. And it was very edifying to see that. And then, a very practical application is after Mass, we make a thanksgiving and then visit with one another, play tag or whatever. But before we leave, before we go home, whether that's short or for many such a long distance, come back in for a moment just to spend a moment with our Lord Jesus Christ, to adore Him and love Him. Make a little act of faith. Words, it'll be fine. You don't even have to do that just to be here. It only has to take a minute. But it's an act of prayer, very, very profitable one, and very pleasing to God again. When we pray, we reflect back to God the very greatest natural gift that He has given us, which is our understanding and our free will. And so, let's take this to heart, put it in practice, and then if we persevere in prayer, in order to receive the graces, in order to receive, save our souls. Anyone who fails to save his soul because he did not pray or did not pray with the right intention. It's not simply a matter of, as I read, intention, having your heart right before God. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.